Bible reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And on the church Bibles, that's on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Can I add my welcome to Drew's? It's very nice to have so many friends and family here this morning. And we've come to this part of our service where we take a look at God's Word and have a look at what the Bible has to say to us. So it's my real privilege over the next 20 to 25 minutes to take a look at this passage that Philip has just so wonderfully read for us. It's a wonderful passage, and it makes some extraordinary claims. What we're going to do is we're going to divide it into two parts. Verse 1 and 2, who is John talking about? Then verse 3 to 5, what has he done? As we're doing this, we're going to consider, what do these verses say? What do they mean? And really, what difference does it make to us living here in Jersey in 2018? Now, before we get stuck in, let me ask you a question. If someone is introducing you to another person, what title do they use for you? What is your title? Perhaps you have many titles, and it will depend on the situation as to what title is used. The carpenter, chief executive, cleaner, chartered accountant. Now, if you're at the school gate or at a toddler group, you'll be introduced as the parent of so-and-so. So you might be Megan's mum, or in my case, David's dad. Now, what about in a social context? Well, you might be the neighbor, or the friend from choir, or the teammate. If you look real close, you'll see that's Nick playing a bit of hockey for Jersey. We get introduced using different titles, and we use titles because they say something about the person we're introducing. In just a word or two, we can deliver a message about the person who carries the title. Now come with me to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Where we're going to be introduced to someone who's given a rather curious title, the Word. Now, at this point, you might find it helpful to have a Bible open in front of you, so if you can grab one from in front of you, the seats in front of you, on page 1063 in the Church Bibles. And we're going to look at those verses and see who is John talking about. Let me read them again. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, we know we're being introduced to someone, because in verse 2 it says he, but this he has a title, the Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been introduced to somebody as the Word. About the closest I've ever come was when I was introduced to a boxer. His name was Gary the Heat Murray. But that's not really the same thing, is it? So what does this title, the Word, mean? What message does it deliver about the person we're being introduced to? Well, we've seen already that in titles, we are using words to communicate. We're using words to express something. We're using words to deliver a message. And so this title, Word, tells us that the person is themselves a message. They themselves communicate the Word simply by being. Now, that may lead us to ask the question, well, who are they communicating for? Whose message are they? And we're going to think about that in just a moment. But for now, let's just be satisfied that the title Word means that this person is a message. But do you know what? To get the full richness of this title, we need to dig a bit deeper. And to do this, we really do need to consider the Greek word used in the original text. Now, this isn't something that we do very often, but from time to time, it's important to just stop and look at the original words used and the meaning that they would carry. And the word used is logos. And this word had real significance in two main ways. You see, firstly, to anybody who was of a Jewish background, people familiar with the Old Testament, they would have seen the word logos as God's word. And God's word is God's active agency in the world. God acted in his world through his word. So it carries all that rich history for people with that background. But to the first readers of the day, to the Greek philosophers, the Stoics, they understood logos to be the rational principle by which everything exists. Everything could be traced back or boiled down to this idea, this logos. So you see, this word has huge meaning, both for the Greek Jews and non-Jews, for those familiar with the Old Testament and those who are not. The first readers, this word logos is heavily, heavily loaded. And then it's tied to a person. That's pretty big, isn't it? It is linked to a person. So let's take a closer look and see what John tells us about this person, the word, the logos. And look down again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In this verse, we see three things about the Word. And they're big things, but we're going to run through them quickly anyway. One, the Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. You see, this person who carries the title the Word has always existed. He didn't come into being. He was, he is, and he always will be. I wonder if any of you ladies are lucky enough to have an eternity ring. You know those rings, they've got the diamonds that go all the way around? The idea is that you can't really tell the beginning from the end. Well, so it is with the Word. He has no beginning, and he will have no end. The Word is eternal. But secondly, the Word is relational. Look with me at verse 1 again. And the Word was with God. You see, God and the Word were together, relating to one another. They were in a relationship. What's the nature of that relationship? Well, it was a father-son relationship. We can see that later on in this chapter and then throughout John, the title Son is used repeatedly. The Word is the Son. They are one and the same. You see, in the same way that many of us can have multiple titles, so too does the Word. The Word is eternal. The Word is relational. And the final thing we learn in this opening verse is that the Word is God. Look again at verse 1. The Word was God. John was talking about the state of things at the beginning. The Word was God. For all eternity, the Word is God. Now, hang on a second, I hear you protest. Haven't you just said that the Word was with God? Isn't the Word in a father-son relationship with God? How is this possible? And you know, at this point, we do need to stop and consider the nature of God, the tripersonal nature of God. You see, the Bible consistently teaches us that there is one God, but that God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one in being, but exists simultaneously in three persons. So you see, the Word can be both with God and at the same time be God. Now, if you think that's a bit hard to get our heads around, it is. And one of the reasons for that is that we are one in person and one in being. The world we live in is full of people who are one in person and one in being. That is our normal framework for understanding other people. But God's not just some other person. The Word, his Son, his eternal Son, he's not just some other person either. Now, the significance of God's tripersonal nature can't be overplayed. Because you see, it's what makes it possible for God to be love, for God to be eternally loving. Just think about this for a moment. We've just seen that the Word is eternal and that the Word was with God. So what that means is that for all eternity, there has been this loving relationship between a father and his son. You see, at the very core of God's being is love. Who's John talking about in these opening verses? Well, he's talking about the Word who is eternal, relational, and is God. Now, let me draw in one more thing before we pull this first section together. In chapter 1, verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, the Word has a name, and his name is Jesus. That is who John's talking about. In this grand introduction, Jesus is the Word of God, the eternal Son of God who took on human form when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. That's what all the celebration's about at Christmas time. We are celebrating the eternal Son being born in human form. Jesus is the Word. The Word that is eternal, the Word that is relational, the Word that is God. And you see, so the reason the title, the Word, is so appropriate is because Jesus is God's message to us. God has spoken to us through Jesus, through his life lived on earth, through his teaching. And God continues to speak to us through Jesus, through the pages of the Bible. And I mean, who better could express God to us than Jesus, the one who is God? As one writer puts it, he is God's ultimate self-disclosure. Now, that does mean that if we want to know what God is like, we need look no further than the person of Jesus. And you know, that's what we're committed to doing here at Jersey Baptist. We regularly open the Bible together to get to know Jesus better and better. In the opening two verses, we see who John is talking about. Jesus, the Word who is eternal, relational, and God. God's ultimate message to us. Now, for the rest of this morning, we're going to look at what he has done. Verses 3 and 5, we'll again see three things, and again we'll move through them rather quickly. One, Jesus created everything. Look down at verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's quite some statement, isn't it? The world we live in, everything exists because Jesus made it. And just to be clear, without Jesus there would be no world, there would be nothing. Without him, nothing that has been made. So without him, nothing was that has been made. Jesus created everything out of nothing. We can only make stuff out of the things that we already have. We can change things from one thing into another, and we can do some fantastic things with the resources that we have in this world. Just yesterday, I was at a friend's house having a look at some artwork that she's been doing over the last year. And she's created some fantastic paintings. But she'll freely admit that she can't create a single painting without the paint. And you can't have paint without all the elements. Now, I don't know how you make paint, but I figure you go and get the right stuff, you mix it all together, and then you've got paint. But without the stuff to mix together in the first place, you can't have paint, you can't have painting. The world that Jesus created is filled with an abundance of resources, and we can use them in all sorts of ways. But we only have the world that we live in. We only have the food that we eat. We only have the stuff that we have because Jesus created it in the first place. Now, all of this must lead us to the simple conclusion that if he made it all, well, then we live in his world. The world belongs to the one who created it. Jesus created everything. But there's more. Jesus is the giver of life to everyone. Look down at verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, or of mankind. Our lives are an overflow of his life, his self-existing, eternal life. We owe our own existence, our own lives, to Jesus. He is the giver of life. You see, in the same way that he is the source of everything in the material world, so too he is the source of all life in this world. Our hearts beat because Jesus is the giver of life. This morning we've been giving thanks to God for David's life. What a precious life. He's given great joy to so many of us already. But we recognize that his life comes from God, comes through Jesus. One of Amy's favorite verses is Psalm 139, verse 13, which is a King David praying to God. Listen to what he says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Do you know that each of us are here, sat here this morning, because Jesus created our inmost being? He knit us together in our mother's wombs. Without Jesus, there is no life. He is the source of life. I wonder if you've ever seen one of those movies with those robots in them. And when the power is pulled, the robot flops. In fact, I think a better illustration is, have you seen those guys that do the dancing, like the body popping stuff? And they pretend to be a robot. And when they start, there's no music, and they're always like that. Just flop. Pretending to be lifeless with nothing. And then the music comes on, and it's like it powers them, it sources them, and they dance about and they jig about. Without Jesus, we would not have life or breath. We would be lifeless. We only have life because Jesus gives it to us. Jesus created everything. Jesus gives life to everyone. Now, so far, I think you'll agree that this is generally pretty good stuff. It's bright and cheery and happy stuff. But as we come to the final verse of this morning, we see that things are not all is not well. And into this situation, this darkness, Jesus shines as the light. Jesus is the light. Now, that is the theme for next week, so I don't want to take too much away from next week. So we'll touch on it a bit this morning. But come back next week if you want to hear a bit more about what it means for Jesus to be the light. But for now, let's just have a look at it quickly. Jesus is the light. Look down at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. After the first four voices, the obvious question is, well, where did the darkness come from? The simple answer is that darkness happened when humanity turned its back on the light. When humanity turned its back on the very source of life. When Adam and Eve rejected God, by doing so, they turned their back on him and plunged humanity into darkness. Darkness comes from rejecting God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't much like the dark. I never have, really. You see, the problem is in the dark, you're never quite sure where you are or what's going on around you. You hear a sound, and you're not quite sure what it is. As a kid, I was afraid of the dark. My family played up on this a bit. And so if I went to the far side bathroom in our bungalow, they would knock on the window outside and scare the living daylights out of me. I was scared of the dark. Darkness is disorientating. You just don't know quite what's going on. But Jesus, the Word, the light of life, stepped down from heaven into the darkness. And what did the darkness do? It rejected him. Just as they'd rejected God at the beginning. But the darkness did not overcome him. You see, those who rejected Jesus, they tried to kill him. They put him to death on a cross. And we sung about it just now. He died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, it looked like the darkness had won. But he rose again, and he's alive, and he's seated at God's right hand to this very day, back where he belongs. So far from the darkness overcoming Jesus, he overcame the darkness. But you know, that wasn't just a personal win for Jesus. This was a win that could change your life today. It's a win that has changed lives down the centuries. You see, the truth is that by nature, we all choose to live life our own way and to do our own thing. By nature, we reject God, which puts us in the dark. But Jesus, through his death, made it possible for us to come out of the darkness and enter the light. When we turn from rejecting God, when we turn from living life our own way, when we put our faith in Jesus, we enter into the wonderful light. Jesus is the light that has shone in the darkness. I want you to imagine for a moment an enormous searchlight, maybe a bit like this one on the screen. Imagine it's an inky black night, and the searchlight is pointing in the direction of your home and of safety. But you see, instead of choosing to walk in the light, you turn your back on the light and you walk in the opposite direction. We stumble about, we don't really know where we're going or how we're going to get there. The truth is, it's going to end in disaster. You see, turning our backs on God, we just stumble our way through life. not knowing quite where we're going, not really sure how we're going to get there. And that too ends in disaster. But you see, in this illustration, if instead of walking in the dark, we turn to walk in the light, we will walk safely home. You see, so too, if we turn to Jesus, we will make it safely home, to an eternal home with God, where there will be no more darkness, nothing to be afraid of, no sickness, no sadness, no suffering. When we turn to Jesus, the light, we will be guided safely home. And that secures both our present and our future. This morning, we've seen in the opening verses who John is talking about. Jesus, the Word, who is eternal, relational, and is God. This Christmas, when we see a picture of a baby in the manger, or when you look at that little cutout on the stage, will we remember who Jesus is? God's ultimate message to us. And then we've seen what he has done. Jesus created everything. He gives life to everyone. And Jesus is the life. So as we draw to a close this morning, I'd like to ask you just one question. Are you walking in the light? Have you turned to Jesus in faith? Maybe that's your story this morning. And sometimes you'll find it easy and life will go smoothly. And sometimes it'll be hard and it'll be difficult. It'll feel dark. If that's you, can I encourage you to keep going? Jesus is the light that will lead you safely home. Now maybe as you've been listening this morning, you're thinking, well, I did turn to Jesus. Well, I have turned to Jesus. But you feel like you're living in the shadowlands. You've not turned your back on God, not yet. But you know you're not committed to living his way. You're walking in the shadows. It's like you can see where the light is pointing, and you might be roughly headed in that direction, but you are starting to wonder whether you're going to make it there. If that's you, can I urge you to turn back to the light? Turn back to Jesus. This Christmas, come back to Jesus. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're exploring Christian things. Maybe you've never really given God much of a thought. Maybe you have given God a thought and you thought, he's not for me. Well, if that's you, can I plead with you this morning? Take a close look at Jesus. Hear God's message to you today and turn to him in faith. Come into the light of his life, because he is the only one who can lead you safely home. Now, maybe at this point, you're just confused by everything I've said. You've got more questions than answers. Maybe you're hopping up and down inside mad at something I've said this morning. Well, if you've got a question, I'm going to be around afterwards. Do come and have a chat to me. I'd love to talk more about what we've looked at this morning. If you want to know a little bit more about what it means for Jesus to be the light, come along next week and hear Nick taking us through that. But let's close our time now in prayer. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not silent. We thank you that you have spoken to us through Jesus. We thank you that you continue to speak to us through Jesus. And Father, we thank you that he is the light, the one who can give us life, true life. Father, I pray that you would help us to turn to you and walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen.